Well, good evening. Hope you are well. Thanks for coming back to this Sunday night sermon from North Gainesville Baptist Church. And again, we're on Facebook Live, and so thankful for this opportunity to minister to you folks tonight. And looking and longing for that day where we'll all be back together in church. And thinking about that day, that will be, of course, this coming Sunday. And by the time you're hearing that, this sermon, that would have already occurred. So I'm teaching this on a Thursday afternoon and looking forward to Sunday morning services and all you dear folks, and by the grace of God, praying for that day. And I hope you're doing well. So as I mentioned, we are looking forward to the services here at North Gainesville Baptist Church. We'll have already had by this time our morning service, and looking forward to the next service following Sunday morning at 10:45. We are planning a Memorial Day cookout on May 23rd from about 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And looking at time for a little food and fellowship. And I think that's going to be a great opportunity for us to get together. And we are moving our business meeting to May 27th at 7 p.m. May 27th at 7 p.m. There are several things we need to look at that evening. So be in prayer for that. And I encourage you, especially you members of North Gainesville Baptist Church, to participate, to be here that night, May 27th at 7 p.m. That'll be our first Wednesday night back to church. Again, thanks for watching, and I encourage you to share this sermon with someone today. Tonight, we're in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. In the last several Sunday nights, we've been focusing on the life of Peter, learning some lessons from the life of Simon Peter. And tonight we're looking at the lesson, the important lesson of priority, the lesson of priority. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. And from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And Jesus said unto the disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is profited if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity once again to take the time to hear your word, to preach your word. I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, have ears to hear. We pray for our country, our president, vice president, our national government, our local government. God, that you'd give them wisdom, that God, that you would save them and help them realize the spiritual truths that are found in the word of God. And I pray, God, tonight for us especially, that you'd help us, Lord, realize the importance of having a spiritual priorities in our life, so that God, when someday we'll stand before you, you will be able to say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, help us, Lord, not to save our life, but by the grace of God, for you and for the cause of Christ, to lose it. Help us to learn this very important lesson of priority. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, someone has said, to get things done, we must organize, deputize, and supervise. And that's a good saying. It's important to get things done, but more importantly than just getting things done, it's important to get the right things done. And tonight we're going to look at the life of Simon Peter and learn some lessons on priority. See, Peter had the greatest example of someone who had perfect priorities. Of course, that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So what is this first lesson we must learn? The first lesson in the lesson of priorities is a lesson of devotion to duty. Devotion to duty. We learn this from John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus' prime directive was to do the will of his Father. His one central goal in life was to do the will of the Father. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, would it be our central goal to do the will of the Father, to follow the Word of God? Oh, how our lives would be transformed. Oh, how our lives would be different if we just made a decision in our life, a choice of surrender that I'm going to, by the grace of God, follow the will of the Father. We see this decision that Jesus had made. And even at a very young age, at the age of 12, he said to Joseph of Mary, "How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business?" He said that in the beginning of his life, and he said it towards the end of his life. In John chapter 17 and verse 4, Jesus said, "I have glorified thee on earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." I love the words of General Robert E. Lee and what he said about duty. Duty is the most sublime word in our language. Do your duty in all things. You cannot do more, and you should never, never do less. You see, Christ was a perfect personification of the word duty. First of all, we realize that Jesus had to go. Jesus had to go. From that time forth, Jesus began to show the disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem. He had to go. Bible tells us again in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, and it came to pass that the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. You see, our Lord may ask us to do things that may not be safe. They may not be healthy, but that's exactly the place he wants us to go. Daniel went to the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went to that fiery furnace. Jonah went to Nineveh, that wicked city. We support missionaries, and I've talked to many a missionary who've said, "I'm going to a place that is not safe, and I may give my life to the cause of Christ on the field." Oh, how wonderful it is for someone to be willing to sacrifice everything for the cause of Christ, who gave everything to us. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, in the past, prophets, patriarchs, and apostles went through great difficulty for the cause of Christ. I ask you a question tonight. Are we any better than they were? 2 Timothy 2:3, "Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man worth entangle himself on the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier." I read recently during the Crimean War, British cavalrymen were ordered to charge the Russian forces facing almost guaranteed death. It was their duty. Alfred Lord Tennyson depicted their attitude with these words in his poem, "The Charge of the Light Brigade." "Theirs not to make reply, theirs not to reason why, theirs not to do or die. In the valley of death rode the 600. Dear friends, Jesus had to go. But not only did Jesus have to go, Jesus had to die. Jesus had to die. Throughout time, God has required death in order for there to be life. Genesis chapter 3, God slew an animal so that Adam and Eve would be covered. We realize in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the words, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." So Jesus not only had to go to Jerusalem, he had to die for the sins of all mankind so that you and I could have everlasting life. We read Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." Yes, Old Testament patriarchs and prophets, hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth, proclaimed that Christ would come and die for our sins. We see it beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. Oh, Jesus was committed not just to going, but to dying for the sins of all mankind for all time so that we could have everlasting life and to do the very will of the Father. Dear friends, remember where you were on 9/11? Remember where you were on 9/11? Seems so far away, doesn't it? I remember we were in our little apartment in Bonita Springs, Florida, and Angie was at work. But I remember waking up and turning on the TV and seeing that horrific event on that terrible tragic day on 9/11. You know, when I saw those firefighters going into those buildings trying to rescue people, they weren't concerned for themselves. They weren't concerned so much for their safety. They were concerned for the safety and the lives of others, of others. And dear friends, may our focus not be on our lives, but on the lives of others and doing the will of the Father. Oh, dear friends, God is looking for faithful disciples. Safe disciples who would go where he wants them to go and go and die. You said die? Yes, die. Die to their plans. Die to their goals. Die to their dreams. Die to their will. And by the grace of God, say, Father, your will be done. Your will be done. Will you go? Will you go and die for the cause of Christ and the will of the Father? Oh, we see this great example, this devotion to duty. But in the midst of every duty, there's going to be distractions. And Jesus had this distraction. He had distraction of what Peter was going to say to them. Sometimes distractions are obvious, an enemy who will oppose progress. But sometimes distractions are from those who actually care for us. Oswald Chambers made this great statement. The great enemy of life of faith is not sin, But the good which is not good enough. The good is always the enemy of best. The devil will certainly tempt you to sin, but if he can keep you from following the will of God, he's won the great victory. You see, there's things in life we can do that are good, and they may be good. Good for us and good for people around us. But the question is, am I doing what is good? But am I doing that which is best? That's the question. Oh, Peter loved the Lord Jesus. Peter cared for the Lord Jesus. But Jesus had a father who he had to follow. And Peter gave him, unfortunately, a strong rebuke. We see this rebuke in Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Peter didn't want him to go. He didn't want his master to die. He didn't want his friend to leave. This was not the way things were supposed to go. The miracle worker couldn't stop doing miracles. The healer can't stop healing. The preacher can't stop preaching. Peter was focused on his will for Jesus. But Jesus was focusing on his Father's will for his life. This word rebuke means to tax with fault, to rate, to chide, reprove, to censor severely. So often in life, we think we know what is best for us. We listen to the mantra, just follow your heart. Oh, just listen to your feelings and follow your heart. Dear friends, don't get your theology from Disney. Get your theology from the Word of God. If you follow your heart, you'll be destroyed. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Dear friend, don't follow your heart. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. All throughout the scriptures, when people followed what they thought was right, they failed and they went their own way instead of God's way. Cain thought his offering was right. He thought what he was doing was right, but it wasn't acceptable unto the Lord. And after he killed his own brother, he was cursed and he had to leave his own family. He was cast out, Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. The very sons of Aaron made a strange offering unto the Lord. And the Bible says the Lord devoured them. The Lord destroyed them. Well, maybe they had right intentions, but they didn't do the right thing. So often in times we may have right intentions, or maybe even what we think is right thinking towards something. But folks, if it's opposite what God wants us to do, it's wrong, no matter how hard it is for us to realize this. Peter gave a rebuke, but secondly, Peter got a rebuke. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, but he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Dear friends, can you think of a stronger rebuke than be called Satan? I've been called many things in life, but called Satan, that's pretty strong, even by anyone, but especially the lovely Lord Jesus. Now, obviously, Peter wasn't Satan. Jesus wasn't saying, Peter, you're Satan. But Peter was doing the bidding of Satan by trying to stop Jesus from his mission. You see, the devil will do anything to distract us from the duty. Jesus, the devil was doing all he could to distract Jesus from completing his mission, the will of the Father. In Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, three times, now the devil tempts the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord refuses that temptation by quoting scripture. The word of God admonishes us in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Dear friend, don't try to fight the devil. Submit yourselves to God, resist him, and he will flee from you. Sometimes, though, we choose to go our own way. And the best thing for us is by the grace of God to find, hopefully we'll have somebody in our life who will love us enough to reprove us and sometimes rebuke us. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Proverbs 27, 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Galatians 6, 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest they also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes in life, we're going our own way. And by the grace of God, I pray that if we're going our own way, that God will send someone in our life to rebuke us, to challenge us, to help us to see the wrong way in which we're going. I read a story about a young baseball player, a young teenage baseball player who was playing minor league baseball, and he got a little bit discouraged, and he said, I'm going to quit. And his dad said to him, okay, if that's all the guts you've got, you might as well come home and work in the mines with me. Well, that baseball player thought about going and working in those mines, and he kept playing baseball, and he played 18 seasons with the New York Yankees and won 7 world championships during that time. Who am I talking about? The great Mickey Mantle. Oh, in times in life, we get discouraged. Times in life, we actually think we're going the right way and we're actually going the wrong thing. Sometimes we think we're saying the right thing, we're actually saying the wrong thing. May God give us people in our life who love us so much and care about us so much that they'll challenge us, reprove us, and sometimes maybe even rebuke us so that we'll go the right way. We see Jesus and his devotion to duty, and Peter and the fact that he was a distraction from duty, but ultimately this denial for duty. Instead of focusing on Peter's distraction, Jesus turns to the rest of the disciples and reminds them of the importance of doing God's will for their life, their duty for God, and denial of self. We see this emphasized throughout the scriptures. Psalm 16 and verse 8, I've set the Lord always before me because he is in my right hand. I shall not be moved. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if Christ died for all, then all were dead. Then he had died for all, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Oh, dear friends, let me encourage you tonight. Don't live for today. Don't live for today. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Oh, that we as born again Christians will make a decision of surrender. Oh, there's a decision in life, of course, of salvation, but has there ever been a time in your life, a decision where you surrendered your will to the will of the Father, that you denied yourself and you chose to take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, the world says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Those are the words of the foolish. Dear friends, life is short. Life is short. James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is short, but death is sure. Psalm 90 and verse 10, the Psalm of Moses, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for soon cut off, and we fly away. Oh, dear friends, life is short. Death is sure, but our service to Christ is sacred. Our service to Christ is sacred. Matthew 16:25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, dear friends, don't live for today, but do live for tomorrow. John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that God the Father sealed. Matthew 6:31, these familiar words, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after the things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Oh, friends, it's so easy to be consumed with self. It's so easy to be consumed with today and what I must do in our life, how I feel, what I want, where I want to go. Peter was learning a valuable lesson, the lesson of priorities, and he had the greatest example before him, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says in John 6:38, Jesus' words, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Just the other day, I was reading about a great missionary, the missionary David Brainerd, missionary to the American Indians in New England area. And he said, we should always look upon ourselves as God's servants, placed in God's world to do his work, and accordingly labor faithfully for him, not with a design to grow rich or great, but to glorify God and do all the good we possibly can. This dear man of God ministered to the Indians for 3 years and saw many, many come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But unfortunately, he died at the age of 29 years old. He died of tuberculosis. And some would say, oh, what a wasted life. He could have lived such a longer life. He could have. But just because you live a longer life doesn't mean you live the life that Christ lived. once for us. He lived a short life, but he lived a powerful life. And because of his life impacted John Wesley and William Carey and Adoniram Judson and Jen Elliott. People who looked at his life and his sacrifice for Christ and willing to see the Indians in New England converted, and they were challenged and stirred. And because of one life, many other lives were impacted for all eternity because one man was willing to sacrifice. And isn't that what happened to the lovely Lord Jesus? He gave his life so that every one of us could have everlasting life. He is the perfect example. Oh, dear friends, we see this devotion to duty that Jesus had. There are going to be distractions in the midst of the duty. There'll be people who come to you and say, why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you keep going to church? Why are you so focused on God? Why are you living for Jesus? Why do you deny yourself? Dear friends, don't focus on the distractions. Don't focus on the distractions. Focus and do the will, very will of the Father. There'll be a time when you have to decide, am I going to live for me or am I going to live for Jesus? There will be that denial for duty. Remember the words of Jesus, Matthew 16:25. For whosoever shall save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Dear Christian friend, don't try to save your life. Don't try to save your life. Lose it. Lose it. And in losing your life to Christ and his cause, you will find it. True success is finding God's will for your life and doing it. True success is finding God's will for your life and doing it. Will you lose your life to Jesus? Peter learned this lesson. Oh, it was a difficult lesson. It is a difficult lesson. And oftentimes we have to die daily to our own goals, our own dreams, our own plans. But to the degree we die is to the degree we truly live. We truly live. Dear friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the first step is asking Jesus to save your life. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Save your life from sin and eternal destruction by placing your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, basically say, I believe in what Jesus has done. The fact that he came, that he died on that rugged cross. He shed his blood on that cross to pay for my sin. He was buried. He did rise again the third day. I believe in the gospel, the death and burial of Jesus Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I love those words. It didn't say thou maybe be saved, or that thou could be saved, or thou might be saved. But the Bible says thou shalt be saved. Dear friend, turn from your sin. Repent from your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus. Believe in him. Trust in him. And he shall save your soul and give you everlasting life. Dear friend, I hope you know Christ as your personal Savior. But if you don't, today, tonight, before you pillow your head, I pray you ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. That is the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. And God bless you, friends. Thank you for taking the time on this Sunday evening to listen or watch this sermon. May God bless you and may God bless the church. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy and your grace. Bless now your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.